before I get into the word this morning and share with you, many of you have been asking, how can we get involved with a new project, the new church and the campus over there? And so all I can say to you is obviously, as Mark said in the beginning, pray with us if you want to contribute to that, and we're going to need that. We're going to start our building fund actually next weekend. I'll share more with you about that, but you can do a transfer into our normal account and just put building fund. And so we're going to start that next weekend. I took my mom yesterday, and we quickly rode around, and I just showed her what it looked like, and she said, I'm going to be the first to do a transfer. She says, I'm doing my transfer tonight already. All right. So I can say to you, our building fund has actually last night officially started. And so if you want to get involved in that, you can. But next weekend, I'm going to show you some more footage. I'm going to show you some pictures of what the entire campus is going to look like, all right? And so what you've seen up until now is only a part of it. And so we're going to show you the rest next weekend. All right, you ready for God's Word? Amen. Amen, all right? We're busy with a series called The Power of Prayer. And 2 weeks ago, we started off looking at the prayer of Jabez. And there were two things that really stood out in that prayer. And the first is that God wants to bless us. It's His heart. He's our Heavenly Father. And as any father, God's heart really is to bless His children. And when we understand that, and when we get that, it's easy to move to the next step. And what is that? To ask for the blessing. James, in James chapter 4 verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. And so we've got to ask for the blessing. And so Jesus tells us the same thing in the Lord's Prayer. We started last week with the Lord's Prayer. And He tells us to ask, give us this day our daily bread. Now, last week what we did is we looked at the six different, the critical elements of the Lord's Prayer. We're going to have it on the screen. Or you could call it the six P's. He starts with praise. He ends with praise at the bottom over there, and then in between the four different P's, His purpose, His provision, His pardon, also His protection. Now, last week we looked at the first two. We looked at praise and purpose. This morning I want to move on, and we're going to look at provision, God's provision. We're going to spend time only on that one today. We're just going to have a look at provision. So let's go back to the Lord's Prayer where Jesus tells us, He says, pray this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then He says, give us this day our daily bread. He tells us, you've got to ask for it. Just like James says to us, just like we saw in the prayer of Jabez, you and I have got to ask for God's provision on a daily basis. Why is that so important? Because I think provision is one of our major needs, but also one of our major concerns. And so He tells us, you've got to come and ask for that. I remember before Liesl and I got married in our early 20s, one of my major concerns was provision. Was I going to be able to provide? Were we going to be able to, will we be okay financially? But subsequently, man, I've learned an amazing truth, and it's this, that I'm not the provider. There's only one provider, and that's our Heavenly Father. I am not the provider. He is the provider. Now, what am I then? I'm the steward. I steward what God has provided for me or to me. And so God uses various ways to provide. He can provide through our business, through a job or a company or something like that, through our investments, through other people at times, where God uses people to bless us or to provide. And so He works through people, but it's from Him. It's always from God. God is the provider, and He uses various channels or various systems to provide for us, all right? Now, one of the Hebrew names for God is Jehovah Jireh, which means my provider. That's what it means. And do you know that it's one of the first names that God reveals of himself? There are quite a number of Hebrew names, but it's one of the first names that he reveals, because he knows it's one of our major concerns, one of our major needs in our lives. And so God doesn't only want us to know what he does, but who he is. He is our provider. Now, if you and I make the mistake to see ourselves as the provider, you'll find yourselves enslaved by a sin called worry. Why do I say sin is a worry? Worry is a sin. It's because Jesus tells us not to worry again and again in Scripture. I'm going to show you in Matthew chapter 6. As a matter of fact, three times he tells us not to worry. Listen to this. He says, I tell you, do not worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or clothes. Doesn't life consist of more than food and clothing? That's verse 25. And there's verse 31. He says it again. Do not worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. And then in verse 34, he says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. And so Jesus tells us not to worry about provision. Now, what is it called when you and I do something that he's told us not to do? Sin. It's sin. You see, and we don't realize worry is a sin. But it's a sin. Because at the end of the day, really, worry accuses God of not being faithful. That's what it is. Because basically what we're saying, God, I don't know if I can trust you. God, I know your word says you will supply all of my needs. In other words, God says, I will provide not some of your needs, all of your needs, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's what the word says. God, I know your word says that. But when we worry, we're effectively saying, I don't know if I can trust you. I think you're lying. That's what we're saying when we worry. And so Jesus tells us not to worry about provision, because provision is God's responsibility. He is the provider. And you'll find when you start worrying about provision, then the next step is you start worrying about other things, the protection of your family, or solving their problems. You know, my kids are over there, and they're facing some problems, and so what do? We get ourselves worked up, and we worried about that, and this is where we've got to learn. That's not my responsibility. I can't solve their problems, and I can't protect them all the time. Let me give you a simple example. So let's say my daughter starts dating somebody, and this guy breaks her heart. Number one, I can't protect her from that. And I can't really solve it. I can go and smack the guy who did it. but I think I'm going to aggravate it. Probably make it worse. And so we've got to learn that we can't solve all the problems. Now, I know as guys, this is a bit of a problem for us, because, you know, God has wired us as fix-it kind of people, solve-it kind of people. That's what we do. That's our gifting. You know, we're not good listeners, but I can solve your problems. You know, just tell me what it is, and I'll give you a solution or two. And so in the first couple of years of our marriage, this created a bit of tension between Liesl and myself, because she would come from work and she'd share with me her problem. And so, of course, what do? Fix it. I've got a solution for you. And so this went on for a while, until eventually she was so frustrated and I couldn't understand, don't you like my solution? She says, I'm not sharing this with you for you to fix it. And as a guy, it really didn't make sense. And why are you sharing it with me? And so she said, because I want you to listen. And I'm thinking, are you crazy? You're asking me to do something I'm not good at, and not to do something that I'm really good at. I'm bad at listening. I'm really good at fixing it. I can fix it for you, girl. I can help you. And so I had to learn. I can't always fix it. And there are really some things that I can't fix. And there are times that I can't protect. And in the same way, I had to learn that I am not the provider. He is the provider. And when I clicked that, it set me free from a burden that I wasn't meant to carry. You see, I wasn't made to worry. I was made to trust. Write that down. I wasn't made to worry. I was made to trust. That's what Jesus is telling us. He says, I want you to trust God on a daily basis. Give us this day, Lord, as I start my day, as I go to work, give me this day my daily bread. God, I am trusting you this day for provision. Remember when the children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, and God provided manna for them? And so all they had to do is go and collect the manna. Who was providing the manna? God was. What were they doing? They had to collect it. Just like you and I have to go out. God provides work for us. God provides, but you and I have got to go and collect the mandelas and the rhinos and the leopards. All right, we just got to do the collecting. Come on. That's basically what we're doing. And you know what's interesting is that they couldn't take more than what they needed for that day. God said, just take enough for today. If you take more, tomorrow morning it's going to have worms in. And so those people who are like very conscientious and they're going to get enough for the week, they had a lot of worms for that week, all right? And so God said, just take enough for today. And on the sixth day, then you take enough for the sixth and the seventh day. What an amazing miracle that whole thing was, how God just provided for them. Provided basically, as we said last week, cornflakes for 2 million people every single day. Every single day, 2 million people had their cornflakes every single morning. Very biblical cornflakes, by the way. And so God provided for them. Have you ever wondered why God provided daily? Come on. Why didn't God just say to them, take enough for the week? Just collect for the week. Why doesn't Jesus tell us, pray, give us this week, our weekly bread. Give us this month, Lord. I'm going into a brand new month and I need provision for this month. Why doesn't he tell us to do that? I'll tell you why. Because he wants us to trust him on a daily basis. 4 times in the word it tells us, the just shall live by faith. In other words, daily, daily, daily. God says, I want you to live by faith. I want you to keep your eyes on me. I want you to trust me every single day. It's all about trust. That's it. It's all about trust. Proverbs 28:25 says, he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. So let's say you go and see a new customer. You're trying to get business from them. Or you're going to apply for a job. Or you apply to get your children into a certain school or certain varsity or something like that. Can I ask you the question? Who are you looking to get that job, to get your children in? Who are you looking to? Those people? Or are you looking to God? Because ultimately, he is our provider. And scripture tells us, he who trusts in the Lord, not the people. God works through people, but it ultimately comes from him. He who trusts in the Lord will prosper. And that's why it's good for you and me to express our gratitude to God. I've shared this with you how many times before, to wake up in the morning and just lie there. And I did it again this morning. Just lie there in my bed and I just say, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you that we can go to church. Thank you for just peace and calm in our country. See what's happening around the world. God, thank you for health. You know, there's just so much we can just go on and on and on. Because you see, gratitude reminds us that he's the provider. I wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for him. I wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for him. That's why it's good for you and me just to bow before we have a meal. Every single meal, just to bow for a moment. Father, for what we're about to receive, make us forever grateful. Thank you so much. What are we doing? Every time we do that, we're just reminding ourselves, he's my provider. He's my provider. I wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for God. So let's go back quickly to Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus tells us, don't worry, don't worry. Don't worry what you will wear and eat and all of that. And then he tells us, don't worry about tomorrow, because that's something we worry about. You know, what if? He says, don't go there. Unfortunately, he doesn't stop there, but he actually tells us why we shouldn't worry. Now listen to this. Verse 26, he says, look at the birds. Doesn't your heavenly Father provide for them? And aren't you more valuable than the birds? He says, just consider that for a moment. You are far, far more valuable. The Bible actually calls us the crown of His creation. Now, when you realize that, it's like, whoa. And then he says in verse 27, can worry add a single moment to your life? Of course not. Is it beneficial? Is it helping you to worry, by the way? No. So why go there? And then he says this. He says, look at the lilies of the field. They're yet today and gone tomorrow. And yet, you know, even Solomon in all his glory wasn't clothed or dressed as beautifully as what they are. He says, now come on, if God can take care of the birds and the lilies, don't you think God will take care of you? And then he says in verse 32, why be like the pagans who worry all the time, worry, 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 because they don't have a heavenly Father. And so what he's contrasting is he's contrasting the pagans, the unsaved, to us, God's children. And he's saying, you have a heavenly Father. You have somebody who takes care of you, looks after you. Don't be like them. They've got reason to worry. They don't have a heavenly Father. He says, don't be like that. And so you know what I'm trying to do today? Let me just let you in on my secret. I'm trying to move you from being self-sufficient to being God-dependent. I'm trying to move you from a place of worry to a place of trust. And with that comes peace. Why be like the pagans? Why act like them? You have a heavenly Father. That's what Jesus says, our Father, which art in heaven. Realize who He is, who you are, and then realize, I don't have to worry. I don't have to do what they're doing, because worry is just accusing God of not being faithful, and I don't want to go down that road, because God is so, so faithful. And so that's what I'm trying to do today. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we read of Elijah. And so Elijah predicts, or you could say prophesies, that it wouldn't rain until he says it'll rain. Because you see, God was trying to get the nation's attention because they were living godless lives. And so what happens very often, and God does that today as well, God allows some difficulties into our lives, not because He wants to hurt us and be mean, because He wants us to look up and to say, God, I need your help. And He's saying, I've been here all along. What took you so long? And that's exactly what happened there. And so Elijah says to them, he says, it's not going to rain. And then God says to him, he says, you better get out of here and go and flee, get to the wilderness. Because you see, as the months went by, the vegetation started drying up and dying off. And eventually it was just dry and barren and wilderness. And so they started looking for Elijah, not because they were missing him and they wanted to bribe with him, because they wanted to kill him. Because they're like, you caused all of this. This is because of you. And so God says to him, you better get out of here, get to the wilderness. And then God says to him, he says, And God doesn't often do this where He tells us up front what He's going to do. But God actually says to him, I'm going to send ravens. I'm going to send birds to look after you. They will come and deliver food to you over there. I think that's where Mr. Delivery got their whole business model from. All right. Also very biblical. All right. So we have Kellogg's and you have Mr. Delivery. All right. And so listen to what God says to him here. In verse 4. You will drink from the brook, and I've ordered the ravens to feed you there. So he did what the Lord had told him, and he went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. And the ravens brought him, listen to this, bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. Now, I can imagine one clever little raven. But God, shouldn't we take him some greens as well? And God says, no, bread and meat. He's not married. There's no woman with him. Bread and meat. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about it like this. You know, when I read scripture, I try and imagine, where did the ravens get the bread? Come on, think about it. Where did they get the bread? Probably some oak sitting on his patio, busy eating. They stole it. And he turns to his wife, yes, honey, coffee will be nice. And bring me some bread as well. And I can imagine Elijah sitting there, and the raven flies in with bread, and this is nasia butter, get me some more of that. And then he has something, and he's like, man, this seems like a choc chip muffin from Mug and Bean. He took it from a customer at Mug and Bean. Come on, just think about it. Bread and meat, bread and meat. And they just kept on flying in and bringing him food. Missed the delivery right there next to the little brook. And then the Bible says, sometime later, the brook dried up because there'd been no rain in the land. Now, that's the equivalent of the orders drying up, the business drying up. Business is not what it used to be, or maybe your investments not producing what it used to, or your retirement annuity is not enough, or maybe you've lost your job, lost your business. It's dried up. And so what do you do when the brook dries up? Who do you turn to when the brook dries up? Because fortunately for Elijah, he knew the brook was not his source. God was his source. The brook was not his provider. God was his provider. And so never make the mistake of looking to your business or your company or your boss as your provider. God provides for you through them, but it's always from him. That job, that business is not your provider. God is the provider. He's the source. And when the brook dried up, this is where God told Elijah to go to Zarephath. He says, and I'll have a widow there look after you, and she'll provide for you. Now, what most people don't see is that the miracle God was about to do for Elijah had a knock-on effect. He was going to do it for the widow as well. But here's the thing. The widow's miracle was dependent upon her giving. Because God was saying to her, if you live with an open hand, if you're willing to share with Elijah, I'll put back into your hand. If you give, I'll give back to you. And when God gives back, it's abundant. Because remember, she got oil back, so much so that it was too much. And eventually Elijah said to her, go to the neighbors, go and get the Tupperware from the neighbors and just bring that in, and she just kept filling. She had more oil than she could handle, and eventually she was selling the oil. But you see, it was dependent upon her giving. And so God was saying to her, now is the time to sow seed. You are not going to have a harvest down the line if you don't sow now. Let me just say to you, and this is for somebody here today. The best time to sow is in your time of need. Don't eat all your seed. Whatever you do, don't eat all your seed. Make sure you get seed into the ground, because seed provides a harvest down the line. And so I think, you know, for all of us, we want to receive, you know, but we got to understand there's a condition to us receiving. What's the condition? That we give. Because Scripture tells us, give and it will be given to us. So there's a promise where God says, it will be given to you. But there's a condition to the promise. And the condition is that you and I give, that we live with an open hand. Now, let me warn you up front. There's somebody who'll try and discourage you from giving. And so we all know who that is. It's the enemy. It's Satan. And so he's going to try and tell you, you can't afford it. Not now. You know, he'll discourage you from tithing. It's not the right time to do that. But you see, you and I have got to understand that giving always precedes us receiving. We've got to give first. And sometimes we think, no. You know, when I get that contract, then I'll give. When I have abundance, then I'll give. When I get the promotion, then I'll give. No, you won't. If you're not giving now, you will not give then. Because Scripture tells us in Luke chapter 16, if we are not faithful with little, we will not be faithful with more. And God knows that. And so, you know, we think that you know, we've got to have abundance, then we give. What we don't realize is giving precedes abundance. Giving precedes abundance. You see, we think it's the other way around. If I have abundance, then I'll give. No. Flip them around. Giving. Give, and it will be given to you. How? Scripture says, abundantly. Abundantly. Listen to what it says here. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. What is that? Abundance. Where does that come from? From giving. Giving always precedes abundance. Where did the abundance come from for the widow of Zarephath? Her giving. She had to give first. Then she had abundance. Malachi chapter 3 says, if we tithe, if we bring the full tithe into the storehouse, what does he say? You'll have abundance. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you don't have room for it. What's that? Abundance. You see how giving always precedes abundance? And so God is just saying to you and me today, I'm your provider. and I want to provide. And I want to bless you. But I'm looking for people with open hands. People who are giving. People who are faithful, because when your hand is open, I can put back into that hand. But when we're stingy, no, it's mine, can't afford it, then God can't put back into our hands. And so that's the principle from Scripture here. And so it's easy for you and me to walk around with the attitude that God's got to bless me and God's got to provide for me, but we've got to ask ourselves the question, am I making it easy for God to bless me? To provide for me? Am I living with an open hand? Am I giving? Am I faithful in my tithing? Month after month after month. Because you know, I want the business to come in and I want, but I'm not even faithful in tithing. Am I a good steward of what God has already given me? Because remember we said, God is the provider. We are simply the stewards. And now hear this, how we steward what he gives us will determine how he will provide for us. How we steward will determine how he will provide for us. It's as simple as that. And so the issue here, friends, please hear me, the issue is not our finances. The issue is trust. Do I trust God enough to live with an open hand? And to say, Lord, it's from you in any case. And when I give, I know I'm not giving to get back, but I know you always give. As long as I'm a channel, it flows through me. Do you trust him enough to tithe every single month? To know that this belongs to him in any case. If it wasn't for his goodness, I wouldn't even have this job. I wouldn't have this business. I wouldn't have this income. And so it's all about trust. It's just getting to a place where we trust God. Have you ever wondered how Abraham walked up the hill with his little son in one hand and a knife in the other hand, and knowing this is his only son and he's going to take his life in a couple of moments' time? How did he do that? He trusted God fully and completely. So much so that Scripture says he believed in his heart, if he had to go through with this thing and take this little boy's life, God would raise him from the dead. Let me give it to you quickly. Hebrews 11. Abraham assumed that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And so you can see it. He trusted God fully and completely. It's all about trust. It's about trust. And so what happened? God honored his faith. And God didn't want his son, but God wanted his heart. Isn't that so? God wants our heart at the end of the day. And so his heart was revealed through his willingness to give something that was dear to him, precious to him. Our hearts are revealed through our willingness to give something that's dear and precious to us. And what's that? Our finances. But when we live with an open hand, it reveals our heart. God, my heart is for you. And God, I just want to be a good steward of what you've blessed me with. And so I want to just end off and say to you, it's easy to trust God when everything is going well and you've had good sales, or you know, you've had a promotion and you've got savings in the bank and you haven't had any unexpected expenses and stuff like that. Then it's easy to trust God. Oh, God is good. God is my provider and God is, you know, on the throne and all of that. But when you go through a difficult time, when you've lost your job or business has really taken a dip, let me say to you, then is especially the time to do two things. Get seed in the ground. Get seed. The best time to sow is in your time of need. Don't let the enemy lie to you. And then the next thing, that's where you trust God even more. That's what Abraham did. When his back was up against the wall and he's looking at his little son here, what did he do? Trusted God fully and completely. And when you and I trust God, God will always come through for us. And so Jesus tells us, he says, hey, come to your heavenly Father and ask him for provision. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to invite you to stand with me. You can put your notebooks away and you can stand. And I want us to pray together. And we're going to ask God for provision. And if you don't need provision, you're welcome to go now. Our Heavenly Father, you are our Father, our Daddy. You're not a God out there, far, distant, somewhere. You're our Heavenly Father. And you've told us to come and to ask for our daily bread. And so we come now, Lord, and we say to you, Father, everything we have is from you. Everything I am is from you. And because of you, I'm completely dependent upon you. Give us now, Lord, our daily bread. Day after day after day. And may we be reminded first thing in the morning as we come to you, and we just come with gratitude and praise. The next step is to come and to pray for our daily bread, for our provision today. And then, Lord, we pray, help us to be faithful with what we have right now. To live with open hands and open hearts, because that's when you can put back into our hands. Amen. Bless you.